Welcome to Gaia's Temple. I'm Reverend Judith Laxer. Today is July 7th, 2012, and the theme for our worship service today is kindness.
Philophrosyne. Goddess of friendliness, kindness, and welcome.
Be with us.
You who gift us with open-heartedness.
Be with us.
Today we seek to remember to see ourselves in others. To be willing to treat everyone like kin.
Be with us.
To embrace the pleasures of true connection to our world.
Be with us.
To welcome simplicity for wholeness.
Be with us.
May we be the welcoming and loving people who make a difference in our world.
Be with us.
We gather on this fine day to be in your presence.
Be with us. Blessed be.
Very good. Okay, my friends, so from ancient Greece we find yet another goddess called Philophrosyne, the goddess of friendliness, kindness, and welcome. In my research, there was no specific story or myth about her, just that she was one of four sisters: Eucleia, good repute; Euthenia, prosperity; and Euphemie, acclaim, which I can't help but feel that a euphemism comes from there anyway, but they were collectively known as the Younger Charities or Graces. Philophrosyne. I just like saying that word. We can easily see the meaning of her name when we break it down. The phil or philo part, meaning love or loving. And we can see the root of similar words like philanthropy, right? Love of humankind, philosophy, love of wisdom, and all the other files. You know, like me with my love for Greece, I guess I'm a Grecophile. The Phrosyne part of her name means belief or way of thinking. So, and the suffix syne, S-Y-N-E, or sign, syne, Philophrosyne, both makes it a noun and a feminine noun. So the goddess's name tells us what her power is, a loving way of thinking, which of course informs and governs all of her actions. Actions of friendliness, kindness, and welcome. We might imagine ourselves, right, after walking many miles on a dusty road between cities, coming up to the gate and being greeted by a priestess of Philophrosyne, welcomed with kind gestures that make us feel we are among friends. Among friends, always a lovely place to be. A place not only where everyone knows your name, but you feel like you belong, right, where you feel welcome. A place where kindness is the order of the day, the kind of place we strive to create here in Gaia's Temple each time we meet. So perhaps it's only that I'm older now, but I find that kindness has become more and more important to me, not just to be treated kindly, but that I am kind to others. And I'm a bit embarrassed to admit that this is a relatively recent awareness. But it has blossomed in me quite strongly, which is a beautiful and welcome thing whenever it happens, I'm telling myself. And I am trying not to be at war with myself or shame myself for all the unkind things I've ever said or done, because punishing myself for not being perfect in the past is both an exercise in futility, not to mention it keeps me disempowered, which is not conducive to healthy growth or change. Right? I highly recommend that the internal flogging cease. And my friends, only we ourselves hold that whip. Put the whip down. Put your hands in the air where you can see them and stop. Consciousness is the key that unlocks all the doors that limit us. Every single door that limits us, consciousness is the key. And it's good to keep in mind that just because we become conscious of something, that doesn't automatically mean that very old and ingrained habits merely disappear. Oh, I'm aware of it now. Gone, I'm fixed, I'm healed, I'm different. Awareness is the first step. Step two, through however many times it takes, is the practice at both staying conscious and then forming new and healthier habits by repeatedly employing different actions. Kindness, to the dictionary. Kind as an adjective meaning friendly, doing good rather than harm, related by kinship, The word itself derives from Old English, and I'm not sure how to pronounce this. I'll spell it first. G-E-C-Y-N-D. Gekind, 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 Jekind, Jekind, who knows? But it means natural, native, and innate. All the nay words, nature. It is natural for us to be kind. It's in our nature. Life circumstances turn us off, shut us down, close our minds and hearts in an effort to protect ourselves from the slings and arrows of outrageous fortune. But it's actually unnatural. It becomes habit to be shut down like that. But it's not our innate nature. As a noun, kind means sort or type, as in the pagan kind of folk, you know. And it refers to what is common among groups, a character or type or class. It's also from the root C-Y-N-N, related to family or kin, kin for family, developed from the Proto-Germanic kundis, derived from the Sanskrit root word meaning birth, right? We can see the root of the word kundalini, which is the life force and sexual creative energy that's the source of new life, which I'd say is pretty friendly. And I love how it always comes back to that somehow. So we are kin in what makes us family, of a sort, of a kind, in sync. We are kind when we treat others like they are kin, although we can also see in our families we don't always treat each other so kindly. But when we do not think of ourselves separately from others and we are friendly, doing good rather than harm. Now I want to make a few distinctions here. First, the difference between doing good and not doing harm. We can not do harm, but that doesn't mean we're actually doing good. It's like passive aggression, you know? We don't actively aggress, thereby doing harm, but our static passivity is not very friendly, and it's not an act of doing good either. I can choose not to fight with you, but if in my heart holding a grudge against you causes me to be stingy with my love or my tenderness or my openness, if it keeps me from making overtures or reaching out to connect or help where I can, that's not kindness. If I don't view you as my family, my kin, which by the way I do, but if I didn't, if I view you as the other, as separate, I'll not treat you the same way I treat those who are closest to me, my beloveds. I will not take the time, spend the energy, the thought, and the care in truly being kind to you, because inherent in the word kind is kin, because you are not the other. We are alike, you and me, human, fallible, vulnerable, lovable, not to mention darn good looking. The next distinction I want to make is between politeness and kindness, which walk hand in hand, but they're not the exact same quality. Politeness, from the Latin meaning to polish, it means marked by consideration of others, good manners, or tact. And other definitions include refined and civilized. We can see how considering others, employing good manners, tact and diplomacy and civility are a necessary component of kindness, but they themselves are not kindness. Kindness occurs when we treat the other gal as nicely as we ourselves would want to be treated, with gentleness for our feelings, with grace, by giving the benefit of the doubt, shifting the energy of an awkward situation to spare someone being humiliated, to offer a loving presence, to go out of our way, to lovingly connect. We can be polite and yet remain detached or unengaged. Kindness engages us. It's active. At our last service, I talked about how our children learn by what is modeled for them way more than what is told to them. When I was a little girl, what was modeled for me was how to control things and how to get what you want. My father was an alpha male with a big loving heart and a generous spirit, but he was also a tyrant and used his big energy to intimidate. Funny that, because I learned how to stay like under the radar as a way to protect myself, and yet I've also often been told that my big energy intimidates. I have no desire to intimidate. Really, I'm a very nice person. I'm very friendly and nice. I strive only to be my best, you know, aligned with my soul, and yet I hear it reflected that I emulate what was modeled for me. Right? We're not conscious, just down the pike and on we go. So my sisters and I learned very good manners. We were very polite, well-behaved. We said please and thank you. We never interrupted an adult unless we waited for them to pause in conversation and then said excuse me. We respected our elders, did our chores, never talked back, and got good grades. Hardly sounds like me, does it? I was never mean. Mean-spiritedness has just never been my thing. As a psychically sensitive kid with a fair amount of empathy, I think I mostly did the right thing and I played fair. But as I grew and experienced the pain of not being understood, respected, often not even considered or heard in my family, how many of us can relate to what it is I'm saying? Raise your hand, it's an epidemic. I learned how to advocate for myself so I could get my needs met, which makes sense, but it turns the head from kindness to others to self-preservation. I learned how to control. I learned how to get what I wanted, but I didn't learn how to be truly kind. I'm learning that now. You don't get there until you get there. Here I am at 53, just getting there. But the hardest part, really, is learning how to be friendly to myself. That's the hardest part. I can be friendly to other people. Forgiveness I'm learning is way easier for everybody else, but me? I hold myself to a different standard. Put the whip down. Hands me. It's my new MO. When we have trouble being kind or we don't even notice our lack of kindness, when our modus operandi is to get our own needs met regardless of what's going on around us, it's because our ego has not properly matured. So another distinction about the word ego, which in psychological terminology, of course, means the self, especially as distinct from the world and other selves. Second definition is, the personality component that is conscious most directly controls behavior and is most in touch with our internal reality. So that's the part of us that is conscious that we're conscious, the part that chooses our behavior and is privy to the inside job, right? We know what's going on. There, we don't always show it out to the rest of the world. We've come to equate ego with conceit, but that's incorrect. Conceit is an overdeveloped opinion of one's abilities, personality, or worth. Egocentrism occurs when a person adopts the view that they are the center, object, and the norm of all experience. I am the center, the object, and the norm of all experience. Or what we call selfish. Now, my experience is that most people have underdeveloped opinions of their abilities, personality, and worth. We mostly feel we're not good enough. But of course, I have met, as I'm sure you have, many folks who believe they are all that and a bag of chips to boot, and they are not so pleasant to be around. But the point here is that everyone has an ego. We all have the part of our psyche that's conscious of ourselves as distinct from other selves, that controls our behavior as an in touch and is in touch with our internal reality. Whether our ego is healthy or not is another matter. A healthy ego at one age is not necessarily healthy at another. For example, it's expected that young children will view the world around them as occurring for themselves alone, because they've not lived long enough to experience themselves as part of the greater universe and not the center of it. If an adolescent who's roiling hormones makes them unable to hold steady emotionally, act out discontentedly or nastily or overindulgently, though not the most pleasant to be around, is appropriate for their age and development. But if an adult acts in these ways, we know that some personal and spiritual growth is needed. I've talked a bit here about Bill Plotkin's Soulcraft work, which is one way that you can do this kind of personal work. It helps with exactly this kind of thing. It helps adults recognize the parts of ourselves that we left behind in younger places in our psyche. And it helps us to resource what's necessary to heal and bring those parts into present time. Thus my recent epiphany that politeness is not all that's needed along the road to getting what I want. I want you to know that I realize I write and offer these services as much, if not more so, for myself than for anyone else. So I do not stand up here thinking that I'm telling you something that I also don't need to hear. In fact, I think it's the stuff that occurs for me that often informs what goes on out here, because we are not separate. And I figure if I, you know, it's happening for me somewhere, at some point, you can relate. Anyway, one of the things that I love about maturing is my developing ability to recognize what is mine and what is not in an interaction. So that when someone does treat me unkindly, I no longer take it to mean that I am not worthy of kindness, or that I deserve to be treated poorly, or even that they don't like me, or maybe I've offended them in some way. I know when I've elicited someone's wrath or upset. But when someone behaves in unkind ways without my provocation, that's their story, and it's not about me. I know, it's hard to believe that anything occurs is not about me, but there it is. We'd have to be living in complete denial to the ways of the world around us to not have noticed that there's a pretty strong split between factions of the population. And the divide is widening as time goes on, particularly in this, you know, election year. There are those who are more like us, the tree-hugging, dirt-worshipping, compassionate mother lovers, who are doing their best to create wholeness through sustainability and equality and restoration. And then there's everyone else. Many of whom are drinking tea at a party. It is the lack of compassion and empathy that fills us with despair as we watch and hear the rhetoric of elitism and power to the wealthy at the expense of everyone else and blatant disregard for Mother Earth. We would not characterize these. And stay out. We would not characterize these philosophies as kind, would we? No, we identify them as greedy and righteous and self-serving. Now, this split shows us how polarity, a concept that could be holding the balance, like on the wheel of the year, becomes polarization, right? Two opposites in a standoff conflict. Now, granted, both sides are attempting to hold their own in order that the other doesn't take over. So I suppose we could look at that as a bit of a balancing act. But unlike the wheel of the year that keeps turning, all that polarization does is keep us static and unmoving and stuck. We are not going to change how the Tea Party operates by trying to tear them down. It's exactly why the war on terrorism is ridiculous, because war is terrorism and we can't solve the problem from the same level. We have to model a different way of doing it. Tearing things down is what greed, righteousness, and self-serving does. We cannot emulate it and expect to heal or change it. We're not going to fight till we get peace. Now, all of us would like to have the secret to the cures so desperately needed in our world. The cure for disease that baffles us, the way to heal hardened hearts or open minds. And because we live in a society that celebrates extremes, we often lose sight of the power of less than grand gestures, of a small and sweet act of kindness. For example, we don't have to come up with the cure for cancer in order to make a huge and positive change in the life of a cancer patient. And that positive change is no less important because it's not a complete and total cure. There are ample reasons that we can find to be kind, to demonstrate the grace that accompanies a kind gesture, the freedom it offers in our day-to-day living. It's an active thing, a compassionate thing, to be kind. It means you are aware that you're not separate from anyone or anything else, and it could just as easily be you on the receiving end of that kindness or the lack thereof. And it reminds me of the story of the old man who is walking along the beach at low tide, and there's starfish everywhere drying in the sun. And one by one, he's picking them up and throwing them back into the ocean. And a younger man comes jogging along, and he stops when he sees what he's doing, and he laughs. He says, "Old man, what are you doing? What do you think you're going to make kind of a difference here? You're not going to make any sort of a difference. Don't you know that there are like hundreds of starfish on this beach, and there are thousands of beaches all over the globe, and tomorrow's going to be another low tide? What makes you think you're going to make any difference?" And he goes jogging away. And the old man picks up another starfish, and he stands there looking at it for a moment. And then he tosses it back in the ocean. "Made a difference to that one," he says.
Looking at that man, and what do I see? Just glancing at that woman, and what do I believe? In a flick of a moment, whoever made you out to be, the choice to see with clear eyes is up to me. The choice to see with clear eyes is clearly up to me. May I remember to see myself in you. May I remember to see myself in you. Takes a flicker of a moment to see myself in you. With a full heart and a clear heart, a strong heart and an open heart. With a full heart, a clear heart, a strong heart and an open heart. May I remember to see myself in you. May I remember to see myself in you. It takes a flick of a moment to see myself in you. With a full heart and a clear heart, a strong heart and an open heart. With a full heart and a clear heart, a strong heart and an open heart.
Sing along if you want.
May I remember to see myself in you. May I remember to see myself in you. It takes a flicker of a moment to see myself in you. With a full heart,
clear
and a clear heart,
strong,
a strong heart and an open heart. With a full heart and a clear heart, a strong heart and an open heart. May I remember to see myself in you. May I remember to see myself in you. It takes a flicker of a moment to see myself in you. With a full heart and a clear heart, a strong heart and an open heart. With a full heart and a clear heart, a strong heart and an open heart. May I remember to see myself in you. May I remember to see myself in you. It takes a flicker of a moment to see myself in you. With a full heart and a clear heart, a strong heart and an open heart. With a full heart and a clear heart, a strong heart and an open heart.
you will, close your eyes, go within. Let's take a nice deep breath as we look to that internal reality. So breathe deeply and reestablish your connection with your grounding core that we used at the beginning of the service when we created sacred space together. If you came in after we did that, go ahead and ground yourself to the earth for a moment. And now bring your attention to your full, clear, strong, and open heart. And in the safety of this temple, allow yourself to be fully present with exactly what resides in your precious heart right now. Take a moment to be the full, clear, strong, and open person you are. And while you're at it, notice how good and natural that feels. And now, bring to mind someone you consider an adversary, or even an enemy, someone who scares you, or someone that you just don't like. Maybe that person fits all three of those categories. But just conjure that person up in your imagination and see them standing there before you. And once more, breathe deeply and just stay with it. Now, as the two of you stand there before each other, bring to mind something this person did, or does, or is, or was, that is the reason they are not your friend, or they scare you, or you don't like them. Determine what's the reason why you've called them up in your imagination today. And now, still standing there in their presence, think of a time when you've done the same thing. And maybe you haven't done the exact same thing or taken the exact same action, but something similar, something with the same emotional signature to it, an action you took, or something you said, or a way that you were that was not all that different from theirs. And no matter how uncomfortable this might make you, your full, clear, strong, and open heart gives you the courage to just stay with that for a moment. As you stand there, the two of you, you realize all of us are human, all of us make mistakes, and all of us act out of our wounds, and all of us believe we're doing the best we can in the moment. So allow this awareness to help you see the humanity in the person who's standing across from you, and see yourself in them. Our hearts are strong enough to do this. Maybe we even smile at them or somehow let them know that we're all part of the human family. We're all kin. And then breathe deeply and let the image fade as you bring yourself back to this time and place. We are complicated humans who have created a socially complicated world, a world in which we are now constantly told, from the media in this country anyway, that we need this and that and the other in order to be happy. But the truth is that it really doesn't take much to make us happy. In fact, our happiest moments are usually over the simplest things, like a walk in the park, or the sight of the moon, the delicate strength of a poppy, the sound of the first few notes of your favorite song, the baby's smile bestowed upon you like a blessing from the goddess, or a good night's sleep. That first Rainier cherry. Think of any one of your senses and think of what it does for you, and you'll find how easy it is to be happy. Just find something simple to satisfy one of them, and there you go. Touch something warm and soft. Smell a fragrant flower. Look at something beautiful. Eat something delicious. Attend to something funny and listen to the sound of your own laughter. And if it does take a lot to make us happy, it might be a good idea to examine that and find out why. Because if it takes a lot, if that is the case, we're not only probably consuming more than we need, and we know what overconsumption is doing, but we're missing out big time on deep satisfaction over simple and readily available things. We are now between Letha, the summer solstice, and Lunasa, the first harvest on the wheel of the year. The peak of summer is active and growing. The season tempts us outdoors and into the elements. This time on the wheel of the year is a lush and sensuous time to be an earthling. And as the tomatoes form on the vine, and the lettuce makes its way into our salad bowl, and the pears grow fat on tree limbs, and the worms turn the veggie scraps to compost, we remember how precious these simple pleasures are. And as good old-fashioned pagans, we know that our souls find healing and renewal through our grounded connection to Mother Earth. When we remember that the simple things Mother Earth serves up are the true source of our happiness, we are free.
We stand on the edge of a cliff, in the deepest night I've ever seen. People looking for light, people who cherish a dream. But the light's shining out from our eyes, and the dream's resting deep in our souls. If it's magic we're needing to keep us from falling, it's magic we already know. It's music that keeps us alive. It's dancing that sets our hearts free. It's children remember the laughter in life. It's animals teach us to see. Low to the ground, get close to the earth. Don't stray very far from your soul. It's simple things show us the reason we're here, and it's simple things keeping us whole. Tell me the place you were born, the lives that your ancestors lived, the ground that surrounded the people you love, the streams from which you were fed, the wind that carries the sea, and the sea that carries the song. The food that we're eating is rooted in soil, and it's soil that is keeping us strong. It's music that keeps us alive. It's dancing that sets our hearts free. It's children remember the laughter in life. As animals teach us to see. Stay low to the ground. Live close to the earth. Don't stray very far from your soul. It's simple things show us the reason we're here, and it's simple things keeping us whole. Temples are falling around us. Stand strong and fierce where they've been. I never have seen a holier sight than a person who sings in the wind. Our blood is the river of life. Our joy is the sun on the land. All of the love that is inside this heart is more than one person can stand. It's music that keeps us alive. Dancing that sets our hearts free. It's children remember the laughter and life. It's animals teach us to see. Stay low to the ground. Live close to the earth. Don't stray very far from your soul.
harvest. May simple pleasures lift your spirit and keep you happy. May the strength in your open heart make being kind the most natural thing in the world, because it is. May Philophrosyne welcome you with open arms wherever you go, and may what you emulate be her grace of loving kindness. Blessed be.
Blessed be.
Okay, so we'll open the floor for our community prayers. If you have a prayer that you'd like to speak out loud, please feel free to do so. When you're finished, say blessed be, and we'll go on to the next person. I'd actually like to start today with two prayers. Not do a kindness too soon, because you never know how soon it will be too late. Blessed be.
If you've enjoyed this audio cast of Gaius Temple service, please visit us at gaiustemple.org and make a contribution or a donation of your liking. Thank you so much for listening, and blessed be.